And welcome. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and with an emphasis on entertainment. And there's a little bit of news, and there's a whole lot of talking. And welcome to the show. And among the things that we have to discuss this evening is Area 51, I guess, is now officially acknowledged, and it's officially, whatever that is, it's officially acknowledged, but it's been officially sort of extinct in terms of the UFO thing for a while now, in my opinion anyway. I'm one of the few guys that actually does believe the government in some instances. I don't think that, maybe not all the time, but I think that there are times when they're telling the truth. I mean, what do you want from me? I'm going to have to go with them on this one. I don't believe there are Martians. Now, we're going to talk with Ron Turner. He is at the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado this evening to address these very things. And Ron, I, again, am simply saying that the Area 51, the Area 51 phenomenon, the Area 51, you know, a pop cultural phenomenon, that is what it seems like to me, it's done, isn't it?
Phil, no, it is not done, you know that you were leading with that question because you know how I feel about this.
Well, I know that you believe that the government is covering up something. I want to ask you something straight up. Do you believe that that there are, first of all, do you believe that we are in possession of the remains of extraterrestrials?
I think that there is something that the United States government has been covering up since that fateful day in 1947 or 48, when the first reports came in of some kind of humanoid or human-like cadavers, which were recovered at the scene of some kind of a collision or crash or incident there involving an airship of some kind. Now, this has been repeated. It has been testified to. It has been witnessed. It has.
Well, when you say witnessed, what are the people witnessing? Because what we hear is that the government said in that report that was released a number of years ago, these were dummies.
Oh, please, you know.
Well, that they were some kind of test dummies that were in a weather balloon.
The weather balloon. The CIA operative Brandon Griffith, who has been talking about this, has said, and he's with the CIA, and he has said there's something going on. These reports of cadavers of some kind that were alien in nature, alien in features, these have got to have some merit because of the abundance of reports. Now, you don't have to believe him, but I think it's very convenient for the United States government to suddenly come out years and years later and say, all right, Area 51 exists, and Area 51 not only exists, we have been testing high-altitude craft, but no, there are no aliens. So gradually, slowly but surely, the U.S. government has been leaking this information. Slowly but surely, the U.S. government has been setting up its explanation.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is, as they cop to, all right, yes, there was an Area 51. And then they cop to, all right, yes, we were doing high-level testing of aircraft.
Now, you're talking there about the U-2?
Yes, they're talking about the Oxcart and the U-2, these two test programs. Okay, yes, we have been. And all of this is to obfuscate, in my opinion, the existence of a bigger program, a larger cover-up involving aliens or some kind of alien craft or extraterrestrial cadavers, as they've been described.
All right, Dr. Ron Turner is with us here. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and we're discussing the report today that Area 51 has been officially acknowledged by the United States government. The CIA issued, or I should say the CIA wrote a report that was published in 1992, and the government, I think, is either quoting much of that or is citing that. as the official acknowledgement of this Area 51. So what is Area 51 to you, and what makes your understanding of Area 51 different from what the government has been telling us?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
In other words, what do you think, if the government says Area 51 has been a place of a top secret testing ground for experimental aircraft, what do you think it is?
Well, I think that's exactly what it was originally designed for, but I think very shortly after World War II, when this incident took place, Area 51, by necessity, had to be transformed immediately by the United States government into something much different, into a place that did the study of the possibility of extraterrestrial flight, the possibility of contact with extraterrestrial civilization, perhaps the study of extraterrestrial vehicles. I think we have been involved in studying the mechanism and the operation of an extraterrestrial craft that was recovered at the site at Roswell, and that has given us the technology. Where do you think the stealth bomber comes from? Where do you think these different jet aircraft, where do you think the Oxcart came from? Where do you think the U-2 airplane came from?
All right, well, let's talk about the stealth, could I, for just a moment?
What are you going to tell me? I'm talking to you about I'm telling you where the stealth technology came from. It came from the study of this extraterrestrial craft.
Well, but I would respectfully disagree with you.
Well, Phil, before you respectfully disagree with me, understand that I'm a doctor of astronomy. I've been working in the field of science my entire life. I don't know what possible hope you think you have of matching your informational base with mine.
Well, I just wanted to tell you what, from what I understand. I'm not saying I got a huge informational base. I'm just saying that the stealth technology was recovered, at least some of that technology was recovered in Germany at the end of World War II. The Germans were already working on this kind of arrow-shaped radar-defeating aircraft.
Well, I've heard that, and isn't that interesting that we want to attribute everything to Nazis? Well, I'll tell you this. We know there's a link between what the Third Reich, the Nazis, if you will, understood about aerodynamics and the existence of these extraterrestrials. And I can tell you, it is my belief, that the Nazi regime in Germany, the Third Reich, may have already had or predated us with contact with extraterrestrial civilization. How else did they get that technology that you're talking about?
So you're saying that kind of technology, the stealth bomber technology, the stealth bomber design that the Germans were experimenting with at the end of the war, you're saying that was obtained from alien craft?
I'm just saying to you, what are the chances that a human being is going to come up with a design of an aircraft that defeats radar? That is, it makes it invisible. It's a billion to one shot, Phil, at this time in our development.
All right, hold on. Dr. Ron Turner joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory as we talk about Area 51 and his firm belief that they are still hiding something that has to do with extraterrestrials, hiding something that has to do with extraterrestrial craft, hiding something that has to do with extraterrestrial engineering and technology. So the government's saying, yes, Area 51 exists. It was an experimental ground for experimental aircraft. That's all that it was. Nothing more. And nope. Dr. Turner and others still don't think that the whole story has been given to us. We'll be back here with Dr. Ron Turner and your phone calls, 855-500-7445. That's 855-500-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk about the place called Area 51 and the possibility that there are still secrets yet to be yielded. It's the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back on this Friday night with Dr. Ron Turner as we talk with him about Area 51 You know, we on this show, we're not really all that into the spaceship thing, but we do like to talk about the stuff that is top of mind, maybe culturally top of mind. And of course, I believe that this whole, you know, this whole question of UFOs and flying saucers is very much a top of mind topic. And discussing it with us, as I mentioned here this evening, is Dr. Ron Turner. Ron, I wanted to first ask you this. Is there a a prominent, if I may say, group of scientists in this country that are endorsing the things that you're saying?
You know, Phil, that's a kind of a loaded question. When you say prominent, there's myself and Dr. William Kaiser, who is with the Monterey Clinic, and there is...
When you say clinic, is he a scientist?
He is a scientist, yes.
Well, when you say clinic, it sounds like it's a physician's...
Well, it is. It is alien. It is forensic, forensic medicine, specializing in the possibility of alien physiology and physiognomy. So Dr. Kaiser is one of the very first scientists in the world, in the entire world, to make a study of alien physiology with an eye toward medicine, alien medicine, as well as at some time in the future, alien surgeries. So that we can be prepared for the interaction, if you will, of species.
What kind of, I'm very curious, how do you study alien physiology?
Well, you do that, Phil, when you have the bodies of aliens at Area 51.
Well, okay, but I understand, but has he been allowed to?
No, he's not been allowed to. The good doctor, as well as myself, we've had to rely on these anecdotal reports. And what does it look like? What's it? How tall is it? We understand, Phil, the reason for the cover-up, by the way. There's no real ill will here, but what we're trying to say to those members of the U.S. government, those members of the High Command of the Air Force, to the extent that they're covering up members of the scientific establishment and community, we're saying that this trumps the concerns.
When you say you understand... Is it the usual understanding of covering up alien existence that we have, which is not causing a panic?
Well, I think that's been discarded. I don't think I think the American people and the people of the planet Earth are capable of absorbing and processing information. I think that we've shown that, but we do know now from reports of individuals who have had abduction experiences. We do know that there has been. The kind of experimentation and the kind of investigation that has been, I would say, has been invasive, has caused the people who've returned from these abductions embarrassment because there has been a sexual invasion. And we feel very strongly that some of this might have taken place early on in our contact, and there are very high-ranking people that might have had this contact.
So you're talking now about what I've heard and read, that people said they were sexually...
sexually examined by the aliens, that there was sexual contact. We've heard anecdotal, again, but this is second-hand information, but there was... a contact by one man reporting a female, what he understood to be a female.
And he knew that because of the obvious signs?
Yes, and not only the obvious signs, but there are sexual practices that he claimed were shared by this alien culture and with people of Earth.
Do you mind sharing some of those?
Do I mind sharing some of those?
What was happening?
Well, I think it's a little private, unless I can tell you that there was oral and mutually given.
There was mutually given oral?
I have to tell you something, Phil. I'm uncomfortable with the topic.
I understand that. I understand. Let's move on. The more important thing is this idea that the government... doesn't want this information disseminated because high-ranking officials, from what I'm gathering, high-ranking officials were sexually probed?
I believe that is the case. I believe that we had members of, again, I'm talking about the high command of the Air Force. I hope and I pray that we're not talking about any of our elected officials, although I don't know who had access and who was going in and out of the compound early on in the existence of Area 51. I know that General Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, I should say, was the one who gave the final okay to open and to establish and to operate Area 51. Did President Eisenhower have access? And if indeed the alien contact went as high as President Eisenhower, and there was this, again, anecdotal but nonetheless possibly real sexual contact between the President of the United States and an alien, is this the reason why this has been kept under wraps for the number of years that it has? General Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, is one of the great revered presidents in our history. He was a general in World War II. I can't imagine having information like that come out that the President of the United States might have been, sexually assaulted by a being from this alien craft.
You're getting into some stuff now that sounds to me like it's really far out there to even consider.
Well, I know, but we have to consider, why are they covering it up? Why? What possible reason?
Well, how do we know they're covering anything up? That's, again, we get back to this question. How do we know?
Phil, you're fine. You know what they say is you're drinking the Kool-Aid, and I won't go so far as to say that very mundane and predictable and hackneyed phrase, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, because I think it's too simple to say you're brainwashed, but I think you are falling into a trap. But the trap is this. Because there's no proof that it must not exist. See, people like you say, where's your evidence, where's your proof? Well, I turn around and I say to you, how come you need proof and evidence,
That's exactly why. What do you mean, why do I need proof and evidence?
Why do you need proof and evidence?
That's exactly how we know whether something exists or not.
No, you're missing my point. My point is, you'll say to me, I'm telling you a very good reason why there's no reporting of the extraterrestrial cadaver. Because the President of the United States, upon inspecting Area 51, was either attacked or sexually assaulted by an alien that was being held in confinement.
And again, where do you get this? This is an entirely, I mean, it sounds to me like you're creating. Where is the evidence of this?
I'm telling you, why would they cover it up unless the President of the United States was held against his will for a time in a regulated, an environmentally regulated room with this alien pilot that was probing him in full view of the Air Force High Command. The first thing the President is going to say is, I don't want any word of this to leak out. One is reminded, Phil, of the scene in Pulp Fiction.
I want to interrupt you. I am having, I'm trying as hard as I can, and I understand your thinking. This would be very embarrassing. It would be extremely explosive. It would be scary. I can't even begin to come up with the number of words to describe what that would mean if we found out that President Eisenhower was sexually assaulted by an alien. But there's no, even though you say there's a cover-up, and even though you say the only reason why there would be a cover-up is for something this extreme to happen, there's no evidence of this.
Well, again, I just want to say, the scene in Pulp Fiction, and I think we all remember how it burned into our memories of Ving Rhames' character and Bruce Willis as they were ball-gagged and being assaulted by these terrible individuals, the motorcycle rider.
Yeah.
I believe that something like that, could have happened to the President.
Okay.
Well, you say okay, and I say, and I can read between the lines of what you say. You think that what I'm saying is ridiculous, but I'm telling you, Phil, there is very high probability of that because of the cover-up.
That the president was ball-gagged.
I didn't say he was ball-gagged. I said something similar.
All right, well, what happened in Pulp Fiction was that these guys were tied, ball-gagged, and one of the guys was assaulted from behind and by a couple of laughing rednecks. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back here with Ron Tarner and his philosophy, his belief, if you will, that the Area 51 story has not even begun to be told yet, and that in point of fact, there are still many circuits being held by that place. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and our number is 855-507-445. World-famous Phil Henry Show here, and on this Friday night, we have Dr. Ron Tarner with us here, the first week of our reboot coming to a close, and we've enjoyed it no end. I'm telling you, it's been an adventure, and we appreciate all of you joining us, and joining us online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We have all of our archives there, close to 5,000. It's the largest single repository of a radio show anywhere in the history of this planet, as long as we're speaking of things relative to the planet. And we encourage you to go to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass. We are video casting right now. You can take a look at us for what it's worth. You can take a look at me. And we have an archive of those video casts. We have a podcast of the show, tonight's show, tomorrow. We also have a classic podcast that we do Monday through Friday. So it's just a beautiful thing. Talking to Dr. Ron Tarner here on The Phil Henry Show, Dr. Tarner at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado, as we continue discussing Area 51. And I just flashed the story here, Dr. Tarner. I don't know if you see it on your Phil TV screen there. Government officially acknowledges existence of Area 51, but not UFOs.
Yeah, well, I see that, and that was entirely expected. The government does not. Again, Phil, you're talking about something that is potentially very, very embarrassing for the government of the United States of America.
All right. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and we will go to R.C. calling us in Altadena, California. R.C., go ahead.
Yes, Mr. A. Great show as always, and Dr. Turner, it's always great to be talking to you too, sir.
Yes.
I wanted to, first of all, start off my comments, Mr. Henry, by thanking Dr. Tarner for the work that he do on behalf of alien exploration and the reality that there are aliens.
Thank you very much. Have you read my papers?
Yes, sir. We have. I have extensively. We do have a rocket club here at the school. I go to Bradley Military Academy.
Oh, yes.
And we do have a rocket club, and we do study many of your, a lot of the things you've written, as well as Dr. Willemsen, and I know you have very big differences with him.
You know, I do have differences with that, just for the purposes of your audience, Mr. Henry. Dr. Willemsen is a very dear friend of mine, and I've known him ever since we were both in school. He has called for my involuntary commitment.
This friend of yours?
That's exactly right. A very dear friend of mine has called for my involuntary commitment to a mental hospital.
Yes, sir. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you before I got into the gist of what I wanted to say, what do you think about that and everything?
Yeah, what? That's a good question. This is a friend of yours that wants you put away.
Yes, he does. I think Jack Willemsen is one of the great friends that I've had. I respect him. I admire him. He does what he does. He has his reasons. God knows I've got reason not to like the man. He was involved with... I thought he was going to be my brother-in-law for a while because he was involved with my sister for a number of years. We had issues eventually with him and that relationship with my sister because he did not respect her. And I think any man listening, and yourself included, Phil, and you, R.C., anyone who would disrespect your sister or your mother, you know...
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing, no.
Did you, Dr. Turner, could I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead, R.C.
Did you, But what I read was that he had taken your sister across state lines, sir.
Yes, he had taken my sister across state lines for the purposes of an act that was illegal in the state of California. He brought her into Nevada to perform the act. And you know...
Was this... Excuse me, Ron. Was she kidnapped?
No, she was not kidnapped. We thought she had been.
Well, that, Rob, I read that you had hoped for that.
We had hoped that it was a kidnapping and that she was doing this against her will, but it turned out it was something she participated in willingly and, according to the court records, enthusiastically. That caused a great deal of pain to my father and to my mother.
All right, can I? Sorry to interrupt, Ron. I know that that's a painful memory, but I'm trying to get to the point here.
Well, but the point, the young man is asking me about the about my relationship with Jack Williamson. It's a good relationship, even though he did what he did to my sister and wants to put me in a mental hospital.
Yes, sir. So to my larger point, and again, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's likely that the alien could have, if you believe that President Eisenhower was sexually assaulted by the alien, a la Pulp Fiction, which I know is...
I understand that's just a fanciful idea.
I think that you must be exaggerating. That's a ridiculous... I don't think you mean that, do you?
No, not at all.
Because, you know, you're talking about in the movie Pulp Fiction, a rape. Whatever happened, what you're claiming... Was what? Some sort of a was it an abduction?
Well, I mean, technically it would be an abduction.
Yeah, because I've read the doctor's writings on this, Mr. Hendry. I'm very well versed in it. And he wrote it down that when President Eisenhower entered the environmentally controlled vacuum-sealed room, because, again, this room was vacuum-packed.
That's correct, yes.
And
What does vacuum-packed mean? I don't understand that.
I mean, it was vacuum. In other words, it was sealed and purified.
Exactly. There was no bacteria. There was nothing in the room that would cause the President of the United States to submit to an alien or anything that it, especially if the alien disrobed, and we have no way of knowing whether they disrobe or they walk around on their planet.
We don't have any idea that any of this took place. We don't have any idea that aliens have similar genitalia. We don't have any idea that there were even any aliens. We don't have any idea of any of this stuff. Because, again, what you're engaging in, and what you're engaging in is this assumption. And I see so much of this in ufology, I think is how it's pronounced.
Well, Mr. Henry, can I interrupt?
Hold on for a minute, and then I'll give you a moment here, R.C., we don't know that any of this took place because there's this assumption that there's certain things exist. And if you look at the UFO community, all they do is say, well, of course we know that this, and this. Now, having established that, they haven't established anything.
Well, Mr. Henry, I think if you look at the information and the massive, you know, every court in America allows circumstantial evidence.
That's a very good point, yes.
And only in the study of ufology...
Mr. Henry was right, ufology.
Right, but I mean, only in the study of ufology is circumstantial evidence is not allowed, you know?
What? I mean, everybody's allowing this. There isn't any circumstantial evidence.
No, sir, you are absolutely wrong.
There is circumstantial evidence, Mr. Henry, and the circumstantial evidence is the following thing, as Dr. Turner said. There's President Eisenhower, who goes into the vacuum-packed room, is somehow abducted, where the alien puts his hand over the president's mouth and forces him onto a gurney.
Wait. No, there is nothing even close to anything indicating that any of that took place, and that's exactly what I'm talking about, okay?
Well, Phil, I think it takes an open mind.
But I've got the most open mind in the world, but you cannot begin to go down that road unless you have some kind of... And R.C., thank you very much for your call. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. I have to say this. I have to go, well, there were aliens there.
Well, because there were aliens there.
Well, we don't know that. But let's just say there were. Let's say there were aliens there.
I do believe there were aliens there.
All right, fine, there were aliens there, okay?
Yeah, see how easy that was?
No. I'm just for the sake of argument. Now the aliens are there. Now what evidence do you have that that President Eisenhower was anywhere near Area 51, that they abducted the president when he walked into this vacuum pack? I don't even know what that is.
I think we explained it, Phil. It's a vacuum seal. Have you ever had Folgers coffee, and when you take the lid off, you hear that?
Yeah, it's like gas.
Folgers coffee?
When you take the lid off of Folgers coffee.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Wait, he's talking about... Can I jump in?
Go ahead, Margaret Gray.
Thank you, Phil. He's talking about Folgers coffee with the vacuum pack seal that you pay extra for.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is that technology that Folger uses originated with our alien... Well, not with our space program, but with our alien program.
Well, isn't that too bad that Folgers doesn't use that in their advertising?
You know, I don't need this, Mr.
We're going to take a break here.
I think that's rude.
Well, you can say it's rude if you want, but I'm not I'm not going to go down that road. 855-500-7445. We'll be back to conclude here with Dr. Ron Turner on Area 51, the existence of Area 51, the non-existence of Area 51. Was there any? He believes not only has the government continued to cover things up, but that in point of fact, the reason why they're covering up is because President Eisenhower, like in Pulp Fiction, was sexually assaulted, and they don't want that coming out because, gosh knows. Anyway, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Dr. Ron Turner, joined in this segment by our panel of Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, as we continue discussing here this Area 51 story. And, you know, this is a story that's been going on for I don't know how long. I mean, decade after decade of people claiming alien existence.
Well, you know, Phil, you know... I understand that the forces, your people are winning. Your people are winning. The people that don't believe in an alien...
Well, I mean, I say I'm winning.
Hold on. Your side is winning, and we're losing because you run the media. Look at you. You've got a radio show. And where is our voice?
Well, what about Art Bell? What about George Norrie? What about guys like that?
Well, I mean, yeah, in the middle of the night, we get to go on that program and say our piece, and George is sympathetic, and Art is sympathetic, but the rest of the culture is led to believe that, I'm not stupid enough to think that there's people out there who are saying, oh, Dr. Turner, you know, say it, preach it, because I know that at the end of the show, I am looked on as a freak. I told you about my very dear friend, Jack Willemsen, who wants to put me in a mental institution.
Well, I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to put you in a mental institution. You sound to me like you've got your faculties, but your beliefs are President Eisenhower was raped by an alien.
That's correct, yes.
All right. You believe that the aliens still exist there at Area 51?
I didn't say that, did I?
Okay, well, where are they?
Well, they've got to be dead by now, unless they... I don't know how long they live, unless they live to be... You know, we believe that they are sexually active longer than we are, because as of the 70s or the 80s, we were still hearing reports of some pretty atrocious things that were going on there. And
well, what do you mean pretty atrocious? What does that mean?
Can I ask you a question?
Phil, I want to jump in. When you go, what do you mean? When you do that, Phil, it irritates the audience and me. And Ron, were you going to comment on that?
Yeah, I was. I heard you say, what do you mean, like that. That is disrespectful to me.
Hold on for just a second. Now, I'm not going to have every single solitary little vacillation of my vocal cords critiqued. I'm saying, what do you mean that way? Because it begs, I'm telling you, it begs belief that you're telling me as recently as the 80s there have been some pretty outrageous things going on there.
don't you understand?
Where do you get this? What are you talking about?
He's talking, Phil, I believe what Dr. Turner, if I may.
Go ahead.
That these aliens, if they are still there at Area 51, again, we don't know, but if they are, they are continuing to assault.
Oh, would you come on?
Why is that so difficult to understand when you when I told you their sex life, their ability to procreate, far exceeds ours?
Well, isn't that, that's just wonderful. I'm glad that you've got that information, the fact that they exist, the fact that they're sex. They're not just probing people now because they, after all, are in captivity, right?
Yeah, they can't, you know, probe.
They're not going to probe when they themselves are the captives, but what they can do is take hostages. And that's, you know, Phil, hold on for a minute. I think it's very unfair, and I think it shows the bias of the media when a good individual like myself, with a reputation, cannot say anything on a radio show without being held up to ridicule.
On my show tonight, you've said that President Eisenhower was raped by aliens. You're telling me now that these aliens are still alive and are committing assault on who? The staff over there?
Yes, whoever is the medical staff, the people, the night, they must have some sort of nighttime security.
So the night watchman?
I didn't say night watchman, did I?
See, that's the sarcasm there, Dr. Turner. Phil, we're not talking about rubber bullet cops like they have at Sears. We're talking about professional security at a very, very top secret airbase.
I see. So these aliens are raping military police.
I wouldn't know. I would not go so far as to disgrace our military police and say that. I'm just saying I don't know what's going on. Now, the report issued today mentioned nothing about UFOs, and it very well could have.
All right, let me go to a phone call here because I'm getting nowhere, and, you know.
Well, I don't know how far you think you're supposed to get.
You see, in Phil's world, Margaret, if he's not winning the argument, everybody else is mentally disturbed.
No, that's not the case at all.
Yeah, no, I've been on your program long enough to know that.
May I ask you, did you take any medication tonight?
Yeah, I took Sofaxil.
Because it sounds like you're slurring your words a little bit.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, it does a little bit, Doctor.
Well, don't let Phil get you off the point that I'm making some good point here at Avada Paxil.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, man. It sounds like you're doped up a little bit.
Okay, man.
Don't use the word man and make it sound like he's some hippie that dropped Paxil to see if he can see the molecular structure of rocks or something, you know.
I didn't say anything of the sort. Let's go to Brad in Las Vegas. Brad, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Dr. Ron Turner. Go ahead. Hey, Brad, are you there?
Well, yeah, I'm right here. Dr. Turner, Brad Rifkin here, and I've been listening to these comments of yours about the President of the United States, President Eisenhower. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. I live very close to the original Area 51, and I also live very close to, you were talking about George Norrie and Art Bell. I live close to where they broadcast from. And in all the time that I have lived in Las Vegas, and I have been here close to 31 years, in all the time that I have lived in Las Vegas, Nevada, I have never seen, nor have I not heard, or have I not seen, but I have not seen any flying saucer or any kind of an alien, as you say, spacecraft. Now,
well, that's not surprising.
Well, hold on. Well, yeah, it is surprising, because if I live near Area 51 and all these outer space people are coming in and out of there like it's a bus station.
I didn't say it was a bus station, but it's very highly trafficked.
Highly trafficked with aliens?
Yes, highly trafficked with aliens. What do you think we're talking about?
Well, how highly trafficked?
Well, I mean, we're regular flights in and out.
Regular flights from another planet? Because this is ridiculous, you know. And I've lived, like I said, I've lived in Las Vegas my whole life. I've never seen any regular flights of, you know, flying saucers.
Well, have you seen, you lived at the airport there, McCarran, you see regular flights going out of the airport?
Of course I do.
All right.
Well, those aren't UFOs, though.
Well, but you are seeing some regular air traffic.
Yeah, but he knows when he's looking at an airplane.
Whoa, hold on, Phil. Are you seeing regular air traffic?
Yes, I'm seeing regular air traffic.
Well, the point I'm making is, on any given night, you don't know what you're looking at.
Dr. Tawney, yes, I do know what I'm looking at. I know the difference between an airplane...
And what? And a flying saucer?
I'm sorry?
You know the difference between an airplane and a flying saucer?
Okay, Dr. Tawney, the Paxil you took, or whatever you took, we can't understand you.
I would expect you to say that, Rob Galbraith.
Phil, you're saying that because he's winning the argument.
No, I'm not. Dr. Tarner, go ahead and say your name.
I'm Dr. Taba.
Yeah, I can't understand him.
You just said I'm Dr. Taba.
Oh, okay.
All right, he's gone, man. Thank you very much, Dr. Ron Tarner. So that was, thank you very much, Mr. Rifkin, for calling the program. So that was a whole lot of weird. A whole lot of weird.
Well, I think it's very unfair, as he was making some very good points, for you to suddenly point out that he had some drug, there was a problem having to do with drugs. Yes, he was slurring and incoherent.
Uh-huh.
But he had said it about a drug.
Well, I could have said that he was having an aneurysm or some kind of a stroke. Would that have been better?
That would have been good.
Yeah. Dr. Tarner has left us because he's had a stroke, folks. That's why he was slurring his words and couldn't say his own name. It came out Dr. Taba. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Friday night. Who knows what's next? Stick around. Good evening and welcome to the Phil Hendry Show here, hour number two. In case you missed hour number one, and if you missed hour number one, you can always listen to the podcast. It's probably a very pointless thing to do, isn't it, for me to be pointing out what hour?
Yeah, I keep telling you.
Well, we do tell you that you don't need to keep saying hour number two and hour number three, because people do go to the podcast and they listen and they will eat their breakfast and they'll... I've seen people walking around with their whatever you call it,
The listening devices?
The little list, you mean radios?
No, like their iPhones.
Yes, and they're eating fingers of toast.
Yeah, well, I'd be eating fingers of toast.
Oh, okay, so they're eating fingers of toast.
Don't be a wise ass, Phil.
I know what you're saying. People can listen. You can listen to our podcast tomorrow, the show. All right, and you can also listen to our classic podcast, and you can also watch our video cast of the show as it is happening right now. Interesting story. We're going to have Chris Norton joining us in a moment. Chris is a 28-year-old telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California, who is out in the world as a young man dating young women. He's part of the local beach single scene out there in Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach, and we'll talk to him about this. Chris Brown, the very well-known and very, very talented singer, has had his probation revoked by a judge, and the judge has given him another 1,000 hours of community labor, cleaning beaches and highways, removing graffiti, performing other chores assigned by the probation department. And the reason is because of, first of all, it was because of his arrest 4 years ago for assaulting his former girlfriend, Rihanna, and then the judge found out that Chris Brown, while he was supposed to be doing some community service, was actually flying on an airplane to Cancun. He was supposed to be, I don't know what he was supposed to be doing. I think he was supposed to be picking up trash off of a Virginia freeway someplace. The judge in this case, Judge James Brandlin, told Brown he must perform 1,000 hours of community labor with one of four public programs: California Department of Transportation, Highway Cleanup, Graffiti Removal, Beach Cleanup, or Probation Alternative Work Services. The DA withdrew a request to rescind Brown's probation because of a hit-and-run charge that was dismissed in another court on Thursday. Brown didn't speak during Friday's hearing other than to agree to the deal worked out while he waited in the courtroom with his mother and two other people. Why did he show up with his mom, I wonder?
Well, why not?
I don't know. He's a grown man. I think I know the answer to that, and I think it's you get into trouble and we want mom there, huh? I don't know.
I don't think it's because he wants his mom there. It's because he has his mom a lot of things. Yeah, he's all afraid and everything.
Well, he's not afraid of nothing, man.
not afraid like some white guys. You see the white guy on Cop, he's always a guy crying. And the black guy's always a guy very defiant, you know.
What? All right, take it easy. I don't give a damn who the defiant guy is on Cops and who's the one that's crying. You're saying it's always the white guy crying, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
I'd have to agree with that. When I watch Cops, it's usually the white suspect who breaks down and starts to blubber like, you know, Frank. Often, you look at him blubbering like a B-I-T-C-H.
That's not right.
Take it easy, will you? All right, let's get Chris Norton on the line here to talk about this Chris Brown situation. And the reason why is because, Chris, you had told our screener that you feel... You've got a very unusual, and dare I say, people will probably think a sexist view toward this, don't you?
I don't think I have a sexist view, Mr. Murray. I mean, I'm just saying that Chris Brown, I think, is a victim, like a lot of guys are, of women who have, you know, they'll say, you know, I want to charge, you know, my boyfriend with, you know, he slapped me or he did, you know, he done something that I don't like. And then the boyfriend or whoever the guy is, I mean, this happened to me, and I know it's probably happened to a lot of men that are listening to your program right now, but then she'll, like, have you go to jail, and then she wants you to move back in and have sex with her while you are in jail. You know, that's kind of impossible.
Of course it's impossible.
Well, I don't mean while you're in jail, but I mean once you get out and you're on probation and you're on parole and you're on every kind of thing, you know.
Okay, so what is your point is that women make a report, the guy goes to jail, he's on probation, this is on his record, he is a you know, he's in trouble, and meanwhile they've taken him back and they're sleeping with him again.
Yeah, and I think that is something that the courts need to look at, because I got into a problem. I was arrested for domestic abuse, and I was arrested by L.A. County Sheriff, and I was taken to jail, and I was remanded of custody, and I was given, because I didn't, at that time, I didn't have no bail, and so, I mean, I did call a friend of mine, and I asked him to go look in the upper pocket of my sports jacket, because I did have some money there, but he couldn't find it, and, well, first of all, he couldn't get in my apartment, because he couldn't wake my girlfriend up, so she was there. You know,
Wait. Hold on for a minute, man. You were arrested for what?
I was arrested for domestic abuse.
You were arrested for domestic abuse, and okay, and then what?
Well, I mean, they took me down to the substation, the sheriff did, and they told me the bail, I think, was like $900, $1,000, I forget, but I knew I had the cash in my sports jacket, and I called on a friend of mine. I said, go to my apartment and get the cash out of my sports jacket. And he goes, to your apartment's locked. I said, oh, that's right, my girlfriend's in there, you know, knock on the door. He goes, she's asleep, I think, because I can't wake her up. And I remembered that my girlfriend goes to sleep with all, you know, she puts earplugs in and everything. And
was this the girlfriend that reported you for spousal abuse or domestic abuse?
Yes, sir, that's my whole point. So she's still there and she's chilling. And, I mean, what's that about, you know? So,
well, I think that there's a larger question here that you're asking, and the question is the following thing. Why do guys go to jail when the girlfriends take them back?
No, the question I had was, and this is what happened to me. I was on probation. Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you remind me. I was on probation, and meanwhile, my girlfriend says, you know, what's up with, you know, I mean, what's up? Do you want to have sex? And one of the things about me is I'm a aspiring adult film actor, and I do have a lot of women, and I'm not trying to be egotistical or nothing. I'm just saying that I do have sex with a lot of different women, and you know, women want to have sex with me. So even if it's embarrassing to me, and I'm not saying it's right, but even if I slap a woman across the face, like I done with my girlfriend that day, she still wants to have sex with me, even though she had me arrested. And I'm saying, why do they keep that on my record if she, after she reported me to the police, still wants to have the sex?
So you think there's a little bit of hypocrisy?
Yeah, I think it's hypocrisy.
And you think that the law is somehow needs to be changed. All right, let's hold on because we do have to take a break here. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. We're talking to Chris Norton, a 28-year-old telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California. I want to get into a little bit more of his story, but he's basically saying that he's been on probation for domestic battery and suffering, if you will, the punishment of the court, while his girlfriend has taken him back and is having sexual relations with him again. Now, Chris Brown, and I don't agree with that at all, what he's saying is that that is unfair and they should just go ahead and wipe the slate clean and they should rescind the charges and they should clear his name. But the same thing is happening here with Chris Brown. You know that Rihanna took him back. Maybe she still has, I don't know. And meanwhile, he's doing what he's doing in court. World-famous Phil Henry Show here, 855-500-7445, talking to Chris Norton. We're going to get to the Chris Brown story, too. 1,000 hours of community service he has yet to have to serve. Phil Henry Show here, and with us is Chris Norton, who is a telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California, and we're talking about the Chris Brown, the ongoing Chris Brown saga. Chris Brown has had 1,000 additional hours of community service added to his sentence, his initial sentence for the domestic battery against the singer Rihanna. Now, Chris Brown stood before a judge today, as we mentioned. He didn't say anything. His mother was in court with him. He's been in and out of court since pleading guilty to the 2009 assault on Rihanna. Besides making reports on fulfilling the requirements of an earlier order for community labor, he has had subsequent run-ins with the law for assault and traffic accidents. The work that Brown did previously does not apply to the new sentence, said the DA. All right, so getting back on the line here, Chris Norton from Redondo Beach, California, a telemarketer and aspiring adult film actor, as well as a guy who's been in the similar circumstance as Chris Brown. Your initial comments had to do with Chris Brown, right?
Yes, sir, that's true.
What did you want to say?
I wanted to say, I mean, I've heard a lot of people who have been all over Chris Brown, you know, and I'm saying, how come he has to continue to serve a crime, you know, when she's had him move in, you know? So, I mean, what I'm saying is, I think it's wrong when women go, yeah, you know, this man that I was living with assaulted me, and now they're saying, yeah, but you know what? I'm also having sex with him.
Well, what do you mean, yeah, they're saying now? You know, I understand that essentially what you're saying.
What I'm saying, Mr. Henry, is this. I'm saying that if you have your boyfriend arrested, like my girlfriend had me arrested. Okay, I was arrested. I mean, I went down to jail, and they, I don't know if you've ever been down to jail, but they'll take, you know, your picture.
Yeah, I know the process. It's called being booked.
It's called what?
It's called being booked.
Yes, sir. And they, I mean, they're taking your picture, they're taking a fingerprint, they take everything, and you go into a jail cell, and then you either go see a judge, or then they say, you know, here's your bail money. Do you have it? No. Okay, well, I guess you're going to stay there. And that's sort of how it works. And this is after I had slapped my girlfriend. And I had reasons. I'm not saying it's right to slap a woman, okay?
You got that right, friend. You're right about that.
Okay, I'm not saying that's right, Mr. Henry, but I'm saying that, you know, she takes out a car I just purchased with a lot of hard-earned money as a Camaro 5-speed that I just got a Z, and she took it, and she was with her girlfriends, and they go right through a Wendy's, and I had asked her if she would take care of the car. She said, yeah, I will. And they go through the Wendy's drive-thru, which I know is no big deal, okay? But they're drinking and they're eating food and they're basically getting, you know, that mess in my car. And then they took it out to her ex-husband because she wanted to drop off her kid because he had visitation. And that was out in Riverside.
And
okay, look, for whatever reason you assaulted your girlfriend, so far the reasons you're giving me are not very good, okay? You're telling me you assaulted her?
I slapped her across the face, and that wasn't even that. I said, what are you doing with my car? She goes, I took Rennie's boy out to see his dad. And I go, and then what? And then she goes, and then we turned the car around. I go, and then what? And she said, we got gas. I said, and then what?
And what do you mean, and then what, and then what?
I was asking her what she was doing, you know.
Well, it sounds to me like you wanted to know every single thing.
What? Who's that?
This is Margaret Gray. I'm on the panel.
You're on the what?
She's on the panel. Just never mind.
Not never mind. What do you mean, never mind? I'm on the panel. I'm one of the hosts of the program.
Okay, I mean...
Well, then what are you saying, then what, then what?
I'm asking her, Ms. Renner, what I was doing, I was asking her what was, you know, what was you doing with my car?
Okay, yeah, but you're asking her every single solitary thing?
Yes, sir, because the car, I just bought it.
So, what did you slap her about?
Well, I'm trying to get to that. So, I asked her, what'd you do? She goes, I took Remy out, you know, dropped him off at his dad's house. And I go, okay, and then what? She goes, I turned the car around, I got back on the freeway, I go, then what? She goes, I drove down the freeway for 2 miles, and then what? And I said,
What is with this then what? Can't she drive down a freeway?
Yeah, but I want to know what she did, is all I'm saying. I said, and then what? She goes, I got gas, and then what? And she goes, I got back on the freeway.
Couldn't you figure out that that's what she was going to do?
What?
Couldn't you figure out, why do you have to say, and then what, and then what?
Are you serious?
Yeah, try to find out what she did.
Who's asking you, man? Go ahead.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to Bud Dickman. Go ahead.
Okay. So she got gas, and I go, and then what? And she.
Can we get to the point of where she did whatever it was that she did to make you angry?
Well, I'm doing it. I mean, what she basically was doing was D-ing around. I don't want to say the word, but she was D. It starts with a D and ends with a K.
Yeah, okay, so what did she do that got you to slap her?
What I'm saying, I'm saying it. I'm talking it now. She goes, I got on the freeway, I go, then what? Then I got gas, then what? Then we went down the freeway, then what? Then we stopped and we got a Zabba Babba, or whatever that thing's called. It's a candy bar that's taffy and peanut butter.
Yeah, it's an Abba Zabba.
No, it's not. It's called Abracadabra, something like that.
It's an Abba Zabba. Whatever, man. Is that... Did you belt her because of that?
Well, I didn't belt her, Mr. Henry. I slapped her across the face. And
well, what did you... I'm asking you, man.
I'm telling you.
So, in other words, it was all of these stops that she made in your brand new car.
Well, yeah, because I asked her, I go, where did you go? Then what? Then she stops for the Zabba Dabba. I don't know what it's called, but she stopped, and I found Abba Zabba in the crevice of the tuck and roll.
You found Abba Zabba what? You found the candy bar?
Yes, sir. It's not really a candy bar. It's taffy.
Yeah, you can't even call it. It's not a chocolate bar. It's taffy and peanut butter. It's pretty good.
I don't care, man. I don't care if it's pretty good. I'm trying to find out. So you smacked her because she took your car and she was driving it out to Riverside and she drove it and stopped and got gas and she then drove and she bought an Abba Zabba and that's why she got slapped.
No, sir. There was more.
Well, what else was there that got her slapped?
I'm trying to tell you, Ms. Gray. Then she got in the car. She had a Zabba Dabba or Abba Zabba, whatever you call it.
Called an Abba Zabba.
Yeah, and she got two of those, and that was the part that got me going because Abba Zabba is a taffy and peanut butter food item, and it got into Tucker. Are you familiar with Tuck and Roll and how? You know how important it is to a sweet ride?
No, I'm not. No, tuck and roll. I tuck and roll maybe in the 60s and the 50s. Is that still? What do you mean important to a sweet ride?
Well, I'm just saying. Are you familiar with tuck and roll and how important it is to having a sweet, you know, ride?
Now, tuck and roll is gay.
Excuse me, man. No, it is not gay.
Okay, so you got tuck and roll. Then what?
See, that's what you're saying.
What I'm asking you is, so you got tuck and roll.
I got tuck and roll in my car, yeah. And she ate the Zabba.
It's called an Abba Zabba, man, all right?
She ate the Abba Zabba, and she got, you know, pieces of Zabba Dabba, whatever it's called. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce it good, okay? I'm nervous.
All right, well, I understand.
And she got pieces of that crammed down in the crevices, you know?
Well, the crevices of what? Of the seat, or?
Yeah, of the tuck and roll.
right, let's just stop right here, and let's just say you got angry at her for a whole bunch of reasons, and you slapped her. I wanted to know what the trigger was, but apparently it's going to take me forever to get to that.
Well, it all sort of triggered it. As soon as she said, I went out to Riverside, as soon as she said, can I borrow the car, I wanted to slap her.
You got a real problem there, pal. Let's put him on hold, man, for just, well, actually, we've got a couple of minutes. Chris, you there? You got a real problem, and the problem you have is an anger management problem. You want to slap her because she's asking you for the car. Now, I don't know why women will take a man back after he has physically assaulted them. A lot of women do it. I've got my suspicions. Margaret, you have yours?
Yeah, a lot of women take men back because that's how they learn to love. They don't know they're loved unless they're being slapped across the face, as you did to this girl. So that's why she stays with you, and that's why, yes, she continues to have relations with you.
All right, ma'am, but I mean, I'm saying, is it fair for me to be on probation, even though I did slap her, even though, yes, she did take my car, and she put a food item in the car that was going to be destructive of the car, and it was a taffy item that had peanut butter swirls in it, and I won't, you know, I mean, if you don't want me to talk about it, but... okay, and how come I got to go to probation and she still wants to have sex? And I understand that I'm very sassy. I do have a very strong sexual drive, but I just don't understand why I've got to go.
You know something? You're actually asking a pretty good question, but the answer is also fairly evident to me and probably to others, and that is that, as Margaret said, you know, you got a lot of women who are... who don't know they're loved unless they're being abused. It's how they learned to... it's what they observed in their own lives. It's what they saw their mothers going through. It's what they saw their any woman in their life that was a role model. It's what they saw them going through. Now, you, Chris, and we'll get back to Chris Norton here. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. I don't know what you're coming from, but you're slapping her around because she asked you for her car, for to the use of your car. You're slapping her around because she got Abba Zabba in your tuck and roll. And you're saying, why do I got to go to jail if after I slapped her, now she wants to have sex with me? All right, 855-500-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back here in philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass at our website and watch the video cast right now. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me is Chris Norton, a telemarketer from Hermosa Beach, California, and we're going to get Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us. Dr. Sadler is a psychotherapist, psychologist, psychiatrist from San Diego, California, to talk about the Chris Brown case. Chris Brown has been given 1,000 hours of additional community service because he violated the terms of his original community service. One of the violations had him flying to Cancun while he was supposed to be picking garbage up on the side of a freeway. Chris Norton, a young man, 28 years of age, you were arrested and you were given community service for a similar thing, which was domestic battery. Now, you feel that because your girlfriend took you back and because Chris Brown's girlfriend, Rihanna, took him back, that these charges should essentially be dropped, correct?
Yes, sir, because as I said to you and as I said to the guy that answered the phone, you know, the screener, I said, what sense does it make for me to be in an apartment with my girlfriend having sex and having frequent, you know, sex, and she's... You know, as I said, Mr. Ernie, and this goes to really what I'm trying to say about it. It isn't so much that, you know, we're back together, but she wanted me to come back because she missed me, you know, being there with her for my sexual energy because I have, you know, I'm very attractive, I'm very handsome, and I'm not trying to say it, you know, I'm God's gift or anything, but apparently she thinks she likes the sex and she wanted it even though I beat her, you know, I smacked her. You know, so why does the judge, and I imagine Chris Brown is in a similar situation where his girlfriend Rihanna, you know, didn't like, you know, him kicking her out of a move out of the car. I mean, I probably wouldn't like that either, but by the same token, even though she got kicked out of a car, she wanted to have sex, you know.
All right, so she wants to have sex with a guy that kicked her out of a car.
Well, yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, the law is the law, and the law says you can't do that.
Yeah, I know, but why don't they take into consideration the fact that I could take, I'm the same way with my girlfriend, I could push her out of the car at 40. Maybe not any faster, but at 40.
Well, what do you mean, maybe not any faster? You push her out of a moving car?
All I'm trying to tell you, Mr. Henry, is I could, and she'd still want to be back with me, heaven says. That's all I'm trying to say, and so I've been trying to say for the last half hour.
No, you've been saying it, and I've been hearing you say it. But I am telling you that the law is the law. All right, let me get on here. Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego. He is at a conference this evening in San Diego of healthcare professionals, and will be there through Sunday. And Dr. Sadler, thank you so much, sir, for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Phil. I'm enjoying your program this evening, as always.
Tell me about what we're hearing here from Chris and from other young men that may be thinking this way.
Well, I think that what he is saying, and I've worked with a lot of young men of similar mindset, I have to admit to you that I have a very difficult time coming up with a explanation. I think, in other words, that what they're asking is, it makes a lot of sense. If you ask a young man not to treat a woman in the manner that Chris Brown did, or as this young man, Mr. Norton, did, and you make it a violation of the laws of society, but then you turn around and the woman who originally contacted the law enforcement agency then has carnal relations and accepts the man back into her home and her bed and her, you know, I'm not going to say the word, but
All right, I had to dump that, Chris. Let us do the talking, okay?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
I forgot where I was.
Well, you're saying that you agree with him.
I do agree with him.
I'm going to have to ask you this question. Have you, forgive me for asking too, Doctor, I would imagine the answer is no. Have you had an experience like this?
No, I have not. No, I have not. I don't know what experience are you you're talking about.
I'm asking, have you ever had any domestic battery charge against you?
Well, yes, I did in my younger day. Oh, yes, I did, yeah. And, sure. I know you haven't, but I don't think it's unusual. I think it may be even a rite of passage for a lot of young men to, you become a man. You do certain things, and one of them is I hate to say it, but one of the rites of passage is you slap your girlfriend across the mouth when she whips you back. And
a rite of passage. I don't see that at all. You know.
Well, I understand, Phil.
I mean, I raised four. I raised three stepsons from the time they were very young, and I saw them go through all kinds of rites of passage. I saw them fight with each other. I saw them play football. I saw them get their hearts broken over girlfriends. I saw them struggle with what they wanted to do with their lives. And they're three fine young guys, and they never, ever, ever were told or taught that one of the things you need to do to become a man is to slap a woman across the face. Okay?
All right. I'm sorry. So are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
All right. Well, hold on for a minute. Nice. There. You feel better?
Look, Dr. Sadler, I don't want to get in an argument with you, and I don't appreciate the sarcasm.
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm the doctor, and you just gave a nice speech, which I'm sure your listeners are appreciative of, but I'm telling, and I think that that's wonderful that your three stepsons, and I underline the word stepson because they're not blood. See, you know, you didn't, you know, you raised them, but they're not really you, they're another a man's, and so, and excuse me, I've got a bad hay fever.
Gesundheit. Sorry, Gesundheit.
Yeah, Gesundheit is.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Who said that?
I said it, and
no, the other one.
It's Chris Norton, doctor.
Oh, okay, Chris. You're the gentleman we're talking about, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. What I'm trying to tell Mr. Henry is that it's. Yes, to answer your question, yes, I did.
Okay, so you slapped a woman when you were a young man, and what happened?
The same thing happened. I was taken to jail, and I called her up, and I will tell you that probably this is different. I called her up, and I was emotional, and I can remember how it felt. I was scared, and I said to her, her name was Brianna, and I said, would you please? And I'm feeling it right now, Mr. Hendry. I have a sensory memory of it. I said to her, would you please talk to the police officer and tell him that I mean it? And I was scared. I was very scared, and she refused to do it. And I said, okay, I understand. And I spent the night in jail until I went before the magistrate in the morning, and I was given probation. And when I came home, I was still very shaken, and I went into the apartment where she was, and she literally, I was wearing a tie and a dress shirt because I had, actually when I was arrested, I had just come from a seminar, and so she grabbed me by the tie and dragged me into the bedroom, and it was as close as a, it was as close to a sexual assault as you could imagine.
I want to ask a question here, Dr. Sadler.
Yes.
What are you trying to say now? Are you saying that you were sexually assaulted?
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, you're telling us that you got out of jail, went home, and your girlfriend grabbed you by the tie and dragged you into the bedroom.
Yes, that's right. I'm saying she was, you know, what we used to say back in those days, she was hot to try, you know?
I understand. This is Chris Norton, Dr. Sadler.
Yes.
I recognize how that goes. I mean, when she's hot to trot, you know.
Yeah, she's hot to trot. And
what is a hot to trot?
She's hot to trot.
Hot to trot.
All right, I got it.
Yeah, and so I came home to not a woman who was angry with me for having slapped her and a kisser, but because I came home to a woman who wanted to drag me.
Are you all right?
I'm not all right.
Because I brought you on the program for you to give us an expert view on things, and it sounds to me like you're falling apart.
It does sound like you need maybe get a glass of water or something.
I don't need a glass of water.
Well, yeah, go get a glass of water, Doc.
All right.
Hold on for a minute, will you? I'm telling you, I've never heard a guest go to pieces. He's a doctor. He's a doctor.
Yes.
Well, what's he doing flipping out? I mean, he should have more control, I think. Shouldn't he have more control over what it is he experienced in life? Hell, I don't know. I have no idea. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler. We have Chris Norton on the phone. We're discussing the Chris Brown probation, the newest 1,000 hours of probation given to Chris Brown for his domestic battery. And the philosophy, the opinion being proffered here, that if you are a guy that has been arrested for domestic battery and you're going through all of this probationary stuff and all of, you know, and meanwhile she's taking you back and she's loving you and you're sleeping in her bed and you're lovey-dovey, what's that about? I personally, I got no problem with it, man. You break the law, regardless of what she thinks, even though she was the victim of your violence. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, The Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler with us. We also have Chris Norton on the line here. We're talking about Chris Brown, a guy that has got 1,000 hours of extra community service, and yet he's still with Rihanna. You know, women take men back, women take batterers back, and we know this. It's part of, you know, the mental illness, you know. But according to not only Chris Norton, but also Dr. Sadler, if that's the case, whether it be right or whether it be wrong, why are these men still going through the punishment dealt out by the court? They're apparently, you know, there's no harm, no foul. They're living back with the victim. They're going through a domestic bliss kind of a thing. Why are these guys still being punished? Dr. Sadler, before we left the air for our break, you were having some kind of a memory or something.
I was remembering having been arrested after coming home, and I was a young student, and look, Phil, I don't want to make this about me. You asked me had I been through it, and yes, I've been through it. And I went to jail, and I was bonded out by my by a bondsman that I was familiar with.
Well, okay, so that begs another question, if you don't mind.
Well, okay, why do I know a bail bondsman? Is that what you were going to ask?
Why did you?
Because I needed one.
And you needed one, why?
Because I was arrested frequently back then.
For the same thing?
You know, if I answer yes, will you please just shut up about... Not shut up, I didn't mean to say shut up, but would you just stop asking me about me and we can get back to the issue? Because
you're a doctor of psychology and psychiatry, and
well, you're rolling all of that. I understand. You're going, you doctor, psychiatry. You're blowing it all off like it's like I took some sort of a correspondence course. You know, I've got my marriage, family, and counseling child certificate. I forget how it goes, but I've got that.
You forget how it goes. That's a very important license to have, Dr. Sadler.
I know. What's your point?
Well, what do you mean you forget how it goes?
What is the license?
I'm not going to be questioned like I'm some imposter or some guy that's pretending he's a cop with a bunch of gay-looking cop uniforms in the closet. What is this? I have my marriage.
You have... I'm asking because... I apologize. Okay, let's just stick to the point.
No, I'm not apologizing. What's the license called?
I'm going to talk to the host if you don't mind. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are or where you're from.
She's a co-host, Margaret.
Well, you don't know what I am or where I'm from. You want to try me?
All right, let's just knock that off, okay?
Yeah, I'll try it.
Let's knock it off or I'm going to hang up on you.
God.
I'm going to the toilet.
That's nice to know.
Dr. Sadler, I will tell you, is Mr. Norton there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
I've had a lot of people on this show, and I've never had such a childish exchange between a psychiatrist and one of the hosts on the show.
Well, Phil, you know, I mean, if you don't want me to get, you know, PO'd, then why did you have her talk to me? I don't understand.
PO'd, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I am a psychiatrist and a psychologist, but it doesn't mean that I just take endless amount. I don't take a bucket of fecal matter dumped on my head.
Nobody's dumping a bucket of fecal matter on you, Doc. I mean, I'm asking a good question. I think it's very shocking, to be perfectly honest with you, that I brought you on my show only to find out that you, too, have had domestic violence charges against you frequent enough that you have your own bail or had your own bail bondsman in San Diego, correct?
No, this was in Los Angeles.
What part of L.A.?
I would rather not discuss my problems. That was 20-plus years ago.
All right. Chris Norton, you have heard the doctor. He agrees with you. So what would be the next step then for you guys? Do you go to the legislature? Do you, you know?
Chris, I'll let you take that one.
Well, I mean, I don't, you let me take, I don't know. All I'm saying is, I called up here on the talk show. I want to go on a talk show.
Right. But all right, Phil, I'll take it if he doesn't want to take it.
I'll answer, you know, but the whole reason why I called, you know, is just to say that Chris Brown, in my opinion, was getting a raw deal, and that, you know, if Rihanna still, you know, wanted to put it, you know, she wanted to climb it, and or however.
What do you mean climb it?
He's talking about sex.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he goes home to Rihanna and she's you know, she's climbing on top of him every night, and meanwhile, Mr. Henry, he's got to go do probation. You know, he's got to go pick up garbage off a freeway, even though the woman that he went to jail and that he's picking up the garbage on account of, she's climbing him. Well, I don't understand how that's supposed to work, you know?
You know, I tell you something, man. You would probably have a way better chance making your case if you didn't sound like such a clown. I mean, what do you mean climbing him? Are you talking about having relations?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Excuse me, Doc. I'm talking to him.
All right. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Having relations, yeah.
Okay. And you think that it is weird, But I think what I'm trying to say here is that there is a standard, regardless of the feelings of the victim, there is a societal standard, a societal rule and regulation that says you can't act this way. Even a woman in the old days would be, do you want to file charges against your husband? No, I don't. And the cops would leave. Nowadays, cops have to take the guy to jail regardless of how the wife feels.
Well, no, I understand that. I'm willing to submit to the judgment of the court, you know.
But it's just the fact that you go home and you've just been in jail and, you know, let's face it, jail is not the most safe place, and it certainly is not a place, jail is not a place, you know, you go to jail and you're in a holding cell or you're in the tank with five other guys and you're it. You know what I mean? You got tagged. So then you go home after that experience, and you're expected to go at it again, only this time with a female. You know, that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'm not trying to say that at all. I mean,
What? You know, I got to tell you something, Doctor. The longer I talk to you...
Excuse me, I need to get some water. Excuse me.
Go get some water. We're talking to Dr. Jim Sadler here. Okay, Dr. Sadler, you all right?
Hold on, she's upset again. What did I do? God. It's what you made for dinner. I'm sorry, Phil. I got a piece of, it's broccoli, or it's a piece of, it's a booger. I don't know what it is.
You know something, Doc? You are about the least educated guy who's got a degree in psychology that I've ever talked to in my life.
Fine. Good night.
Okay, that's fine. Did he hung up, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wasn't he supposed to be at a conference or something?
Yes, he is at a conference in San Diego.
Though, what is he talking to his wife like she's in the same room?
I guess she's with him.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler has hung up on me, which is not unusual. And, Chris, I appreciate you very much being on the show tonight. I do not believe, even though, you know, your girlfriend took you back, Dr. Sadler's wife took him back, and Chris Brown's girlfriend took him back, I don't think the courts are going to care at all, man, about your life, your problems, and how unfair everything is, because you're going to jail regardless. Okay? Does that help?
Well, I mean, I think it...
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, all of a sudden, you're angry.
Yeah, I am angry because I'm listening to people hanging up on me left and right. All right, so thanks so very deeply. That was an intelligent conversation with Dr. Sadler there as he was trying to hawk up his both lungs. Good Lord. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We'll be back. PhilHenryShow.com is the place to be, too, with a backstage pass. Watch our live streaming video. And like that... Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this Friday night. With me, Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman, and you. Our number is 855-500-7445. And I just saw here a Amber Alert, and we're going to have Bobby Dooley back on. But you know about these, right, Margaret?
Well, the Amber, you said you got a very jarring alarm.
I did. I got an Amber Alert on my phone, and I don't know how many of you guys are getting these. I had no idea. I'm happy to get them. I don't really... I'm fine with it. The Amber Alert is sent to all kinds of receiving and all kinds of platforms, all kinds of devices that can receive it, and one of them is the iPhone, which I have, and last week, an Amber Alert was issued for this young lady that was just... recovered, this young girl that went through this horrific ordeal in San Diego. And when it did get issued and it was received by my phone, it's quite a loud alarm, okay? So it's like, boom, you know, it'll wake you up, it'll get your attention. There's no question about it. Now we've had two Amber Alerts, excuse me, an Amber Alert issued tonight here in the state of California for a couple of kids that are missing and possibly in danger of physical harm or death, and they have been taken, allegedly, by their father. So that's sick, man. I want to get Bobby Dooley on the phone here to talk a little bit about that and other issues. Our number is, as I mentioned, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. If you have a backstage pass, you know that you're able to watch our show via the videocast Phil TV tonight. If you're not, you're aware of that. Maybe you're listening on the radio someplace. If you don't, you can not only watch the videocast, you can listen to the podcast the following day of our show. You can listen to archival podcasts. You can listen to 5,000 hours of archived audio. We're finally getting all that audio chronicled and cataloged. It's a big, big job because we have the largest group. We have the largest collection of single radio show audio of any website in the world. We have close to 5,000 hours of full shows that go back over 10 years. So it's nuts. And it's a long process. And it was interesting when we were getting the website redesigned and we were moving it to a new platform. And the guys said to me, well, this is going to take us, you know, X number of days. And guess what? It took months, because what happened was I said to them, what's going on with the website? Why is it taking so long? I said, Phil, we had no idea, man. We had no idea. I said, well, you knew how much material we had. They said, yes, we did, but we didn't know. It's a huge amount of material. We had to migrate all of that over to a new platform. We did it and got all kinds of links repaired, and now it's just a matter of cataloging the rest of it. We've got a lot of it cataloged, but we need to do the rest. So it's quite a place to go and explore. It's philhenryshow.com, and with a backstage pass, there you are, man. We think one of the greatest radio shows ever in the history of this world, and it's right there at your fingertips. All right, 855-500-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us from Western Estates, California this evening. Bobby, how are you?
Well, we're good, Phil, insofar as we can be, yeah.
Another Amber Alert.
Yes, and I wanted to comment on your, you pointed out something I think very good. You said that, and you can hear the sirens going behind us.
Are you in the area of this Amber Alert? I mean, are there cops?
No, that is probably the television set, but I don't know whether that's the news they're reporting or what. What is that, Justin? My son is watching. Is that the Amber Alert? Is that the Amber Alert? The one that they just done? So what we're doing, Phil, right now is monitoring the situation. But one of the points that I think you made that bears repeating, and I would repeat it to your audience, is that the Amber Alerts that are being issued are, while it's important to make sure that we recover our children, there's no question about that, I think they're going to have to use something a bit less, as you use the word very well, less jarring, less of an assault on the nervous system, because it is such an affront. And I don't know, do you remember getting that Amber Alert last week?
Yeah, I mean, it was loud. I didn't even know what it was, because for reasons that probably are entirely my fault, I just was not aware that I was going to be getting Amber Alerts on my phone. But I heard this thing. It was like no alarm and no ringer and nothing that I've ever set up on my phone. It was completely different. And I looked down at the screen, and the message had this big exclamation point and
almost like a traffic cone or something, it looked like to me.
Yeah, kind of a traffic cone thing, but it was all just bang, you know, Amber Alert. And I was in the middle of something, and I didn't have a chance to read it, but I realized there was some message there. As it turned out, it only stayed on the screen for a period of time. By the time I got to it, it had vanished, the actual message. But I come to find out that's what it was.
Well, the Amber Alert itself, though, when you got the alarm, you made the point, it's extremely jarring. It's very much an assault on the nervous system. You are taken a little bit aback by the assumption that, and Phil, there is no one, there is no mother, there is no wife in this world that is more concerned for the well-being of her family than me. You can ask my husband, you can ask my boys, you can ask my friends. I am like a dog, like a guard dog when it comes to my husband and my three boys. No one, and I mean no one, goes near my family and hopes to leave the experience uninjured if they are meaning harm. So I'm very, very protective. But having said that, when I am engaged in some activity or with, just doing something and someone comes up to me with a police siren or a bullhorn or a loud, you know how some children are, they'll come up to you with a horn and blow it in your ear, and to me that's what it is.
All right, well, I mean, I'm so what exactly are you saying?
My wife cheated on
Steve's here, you know.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good, Mr. My wife's trying to think on the nervous system, you know.
Thank you, Steve, because...
you're saying it's an assault on the nervous system.
Yeah, I'm saying it's an assault on the nervous system that... And God forgive me for saying this, but I know there's a lot of women that feel this way, a lot of men that feel this way, that causes you to not want to deal with it. In other words, I hear this loud sound.
I like that.
Steve, don't do that, please.
All right, what was that?
That was Steve.
I'm sorry, Mr.
That was Steve doing a, was that a horn?
Doing the horn.
Don't do that, honey, if you don't mind. What he was trying to do, do you have the other klaxon?
Got a klaxon.
If he does that, you talk about jarring. Please don't have him do that in the background.
Yeah, Mr. Henry said don't do that. If you have the klaxon.
I got a klaxon.
All right, this is the klagel that Steve has. I don't know if this is exactly what... Did you hear that? That's the wrong...
I'm a klagel. That better?
That's better. Did you hear that, Phil?
That's a foghorn.
No, that's called, it's a foghorn, okay, but I don't know, we call it the klagel. And the reason why is because it has, did you hear that? Boys, turn the TV down if you don't mind, my sons are home. And...
All right, I understand. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley here. We'll get back to them in a moment as we talk about Amber Alerts and the Amber Alerts. And I don't know how many of you guys have received these on your telephone. I don't know if you've received these to the Amber Alerts recently, but they're quite loud. I don't have a problem, though, with the, how loud they are or how jarring they are, because, after all, we are talking about missing kids. But the Dooleys are on here talking a little bit tonight about these things and how maybe they can be muted or done away with. Or they're saying that these Amber Alerts are so jarring and so loud on the phone, they make you not want to deal with them. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show at 855-500-7445 and online at philhenryshow.com. And we'll be back with you and the Dooleys here on Amber Alerts in just a moment. Hello. All right, welcome back here, world-famous Phil Henry Show. And the Dooley's with us here as we continue this discussion of Amber Alerts. You guys had an example of an Amber Alert, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, that I think you have this example of this. You say an example of an Amber Alert, and forgive me, I'm not trying to say that it isn't, but it's not the one that I got, and it doesn't sound to me like I don't recognize it. It's extremely loud. It's extremely obnoxious, and it. Even though the one that I got was pretty loud, it was an alert sound.
So the one we have, go ahead, Steve. Please.
That's one we got. That's how Flower's saying it.
Hold on for a minute. Steve, they can't understand.
Hi, Miss Sherry, can you hear? Gonna do it?
Yeah.
Is that, that's it?
No, that's not it.
That's the one that Steve, turn it off, Steve. Turn it off. That's the one that he said.
No, that's not the one that I got.
It might have been the Chinese gong.
I think it was the Chinese gong is what the... But in any event...
Where are you guys getting these sounds?
This is what came off of Steve's phone.
Yeah.
Well, it may be some kind of sound that he's got on the phone. It doesn't mean it's being sent by law enforcement on Amber Alerts.
It might be a sound that's coming off your phone, but it's not Amber Alert.
Okay, you guys, let's stick to the point here. The point is the Amber Alert that you guys are complaining about, you say, is jarring, and you made a comment that I think needs to be addressed. You said that the Amber Alert is so loud and so jarring, it makes you not want to deal with it.
Well, Phil, I think to get to the point here, I don't want people to misunderstand. I am in favor of recovering lost children. But if I am being held back from doing that, if I am being restrained from doing that, because someone has made a very, very serious mistake in creating a kind of alert or sound or alarm that is so jarring, that is so immobilizing, and I think that's what we're really talking about. We're talking about a sound that immobilizes the will to save a child, because all you want to do, and the thing that preempts your will to save that child, is the desire to stop the noise, to stop the sound from, at any cost, to stop the sound from coming into your ears and creating this discomfort that makes you crazy. And I think that's really what I'm talking about. And you're saying you did not have that experience.
Not in the least. Not in the least. I had a very, very loud and a very noticeable alarm, one that I'd never heard before and one that definitely got my attention. It didn't create in me the reaction that it created in you.
Well, then I would say that you're decidedly in the minority, because I talked to Catherine Bergen. I talked to Emma and Karen Matroll. I talked to the Effinger sisters. I talked to Janet Greeley and a number of other women that are on our board and steering committee for the Falltacular. All of them to a woman, okay, said that the Amber Alert alarm was one that created such panic in them and fear that rather than wanting to save the child, they were inclined to want to save themselves, which I thought was kind of almost humorous, you know, until they gave me the reasons.
Yeah, well, it does sound humorous. Save themselves from what? From the noise?
No, save themselves from whatever is going to come next. And I laughed, but I didn't get any laughs back. Everyone was staring at me.
Where was this, by the way?
Yeah, it was at our homeowners association meeting, but it was the steering committee.
Steering committee on a fall tactic, Mr. Harry, was mostly women.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had all of these women there that were, you know, that were sitting around talking about this Amber Alert, and you laughed about it, and they weren't laughing.
No, they were not laughing. They were not laughing. They were essentially looking at me and saying, you know, are you serious? When we heard that
Take a deep breath, Ms. Dooley.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to get a drink of water? Do you want a drink of water, honey?
Yeah, it didn't. I'm awfully sorry, Phil. It did not create in me the need to dive away as it did them.
Well, all right. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Our number 855-500-7445. Your reaction to this Amber Alert is what? You want to have it changed?
Well, I think you need to opt out. And yes, there is an opt out.
Yeah, there's an opt out option.
There is an opt out option, but I don't want to do that. I am not interested in not being where the action is when one of our children has been abducted, Mr. Henry. No can do, as the boys say. I am right there front and center. I want to be there or be square. I want to be in the middle of the fray. I want to be in the middle of the...
Hold on, I've got to see, because now I have to apologize to my... hold on for just a minute, ma'am, okay? I told my video cast listeners tonight, Bud, in the pre-show that we would not enter another quarter hour with the audio muted, and there it was.
I know about it.
You're the guy that's supposed to keep an eye on it. And there was the audio muted, and my entire videocast audience has been let down, lied to, and once again, they've had to deal with about 10 minutes of a segment muted. And I'm telling you that you've got to pay attention to that. Do you understand?
Bud, you have to understand, because they gave Phil no end of hell over this. No end of hell.
And I was also, what is that disturbing hissing sound? All right. And I was also talked to about this by our operations guy, Alex Cohen, and now I have to look into the camera and apologize to you guys. We had muted audio through that whole segment.
What about the people on the radio?
The people on the radio will understand. Ms. Dooley and Mr. Dooley are on hold right now. But I'm going to have a whole lot of people pissed off again tonight because of that. So I don't want to see that again. Do you understand? What is that supposed to mean?
He doesn't care, Phil.
I care, but...
All right, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, I apologize.
That's perfectly all right, Phil.
All right, so what is the solution here? You've got an Amber Alert sound that is bugging you no end. You've got an Amber Alert sound that is that you don't want to hear because it's jarring to the nervous system.
What we have suggested is to the people that are issuing the Amber Alerts that they go with something less jarring. We suggested the Chinese gong. We suggested the foghorn. We suggested a whistle or the old-fashioned Bronx cheer. Steve, what's the Bronx cheer?
That's where you go like... No, that's not it. You go... Like that, but that's childish.
That is childish.
Yeah, that is childish. And, you know, we're talking about something really serious here.
I understand that, Mr. Hendry. I don't need to be reminded of that. So we're in a bit of a catch-22 right now, but what we do need is for them to understand that if they continue jarring my nervous system and my husband's, that we will not feel inclined to go look for a kid that's lost. We're going to be doing what our instinct was to do the other night, which was to hide in a closet. I'm sorry?
That sounds crazy. I would think that if we're looking for a child that's lost, you know, we would want to look for a child that's lost regardless.
I totally agree, Mr. Henry, and I told my wife about it, but I just got to say, if I hear that noise one more time, I've got to come unglued, and my mind's going to come undone.
We're at risk here, Phil. We're very nervous people to begin with. My husband takes a downer. I don't know what it's called.
What do you mean a downer?
I didn't mean to say a downer. He takes a mild sedative.
What is it with you guys with downer? That's like drug talk.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He takes a sedative. I take
You take speed.
Well, I take a handful of uppers. I don't take a handful of uppers. I do take some stimulant. But my point is that we are already on edge, and I'm ready to come out of my skin at any second, what with all of the things that we've got going on. So,
well, I don't know that whoever is in charge of that is going to be in much of a hurry to get it changed, but I appreciate the dilemma, folks. I have heard the Amber Alert. It wigged me out a little bit, but it sure as hell didn't cause me to want to hide in a closet or change my mind about helping a lost kid because it was so jarring and such an alert, you know, such an assault on the nervous system. The Phil Hendry Show here, and if you've heard that Amber Alert, if you have your cell phone on, generally it should be pumping through the cell phone, but you can opt out of it if you want to. I haven't. I'll keep them coming in. I just now I know what it sounds like. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. We're going to come and wrap up here this final half hour with our panel of Ms. Gray, Leonard, and Dickman on the news of the day. And again, my apologies to our videocast viewers for that inexcusable muting of the audio. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So we come to the conclusion of our first week of reboot, baby, and... It's a challenge. It's been a challenging summer. It's been a challenging. Can I tell you, man? You know, This is a radio show unlike any other, and as a result, certain challenges come with it. A lot of good stuff has been happening this week, though. A lot of good stuff. I wish I could share it with you, but I can't. But I will. And if you have a backstage pass, by the way, if you are watching our pre-show on our video cast, for instance, I get into all kinds of stuff on the show. I tell people all kinds of dirty, filthy, rotten rumors and, you know.
No, you don't get into anything.
Yes, I do get into stuff.
Well, what I'm saying is...
You're not going to do any, you know, slandering.
What do you mean slandering? You mean slander?
Yeah, it's not about slander.
No, I'm not going to slander anybody. You nuts? I don't need to get sued. But we do talk crap. Speaking of crap, we're going to be at the NAB. I'm joking around. We are going to be at the NAB.
See, that's why a lot of people have a problem with you.
Nobody's got a problem with any. All the people, the nice people, have no problem with me. We'll be at the NAB in in September in Orlando, Florida, the National Association of Broadcasters. I'm going to be on a panel with Tory Ryder and with John Fuseliang and with a few others. We're going to be talking about storytelling. And then I think I'm going to be at the Talkers thing here in L.A. So you folks out there in Radio Land, I am doing everything I can to get out there into the radio community to tell them what's wrong, you know, to try to save them. But I don't know. It's only so much one man can do.
Yay.
Thank you very much. All right. Welcome back. And it has been a great week. And again, I can't say it enough. I thank our affiliates. I thank our sponsors. I thank my audience. I thank you. My BSPs, I thank you. I thank all of you. You are you're an amazing group. And you're why I do this. Well, not really. Now then.
Well, what is that supposed to be? Of course you do it for your audience.
I do it for me, and then I do it for the audience.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, you gotta see, you do it for, you gotta do it on an audience.
Yeah, what's that mean, Mr. Henry?
It means you gotta do it for yourself first. If you do it for the audience, if you're doing it for the audience exclusively, you're making a big mistake, because you're not even taking into consideration what you want to do. And you have to take that into consideration. Otherwise, you're going to suck even more than you already do. Now, that's enough about that.
Can I read something? This is very important. And I wish we did have that alert sound, because I had wanted to get an alert sound here in the studio, Phil. I don't know. Bud, do you have that?
I got the secondary alert sound.
Well, then let's go with the secondary alert sound, Bud Dickman. Go ahead. Phil, this just in, syphilis has increased in Kansas City by 150%. So, file that, bud.
Yeah.
What?
That's what you gave me an alert. Are you guys, is that a joke or something?
No, that is not a joke. Do you know that syphilis can tear the brain apart?
Yes, I do know that. So what's with the cow?
I wanted some... You're talking about an Amber Alert, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, what do we got to have an alert for syphilis being up 150% in Kansas City?
Mr. Henry, you got a lot of listeners in Kansas City. If you look on a Facebook fan page.
I got a lot of listeners in Kansas City. That's fantastic. That's great. But I don't think it warrants some kind of a cow moo over a phone, whatever the hell it is. You know, see, you guys think you're being funny.
I don't think I was looking for an alarm, Phil, and you don't have one.
Try to find an alarm, Mr. Henry.
Here, you want an alarm? I got an alarm for you. Here. Here's an alarm. There. Go ahead.
What is that?
That's a dive alarm from a submarine. You never heard that? Dive, dive. Dive, dive.
Boy, somebody ought to sit you down and...
Put a cold compress on your forehead or something.
Hey, let me tell you something, smartass, and you too. You guys are talking about alarm. That's an alarm.
All right, fine. Here. Buddy, you ready?
Yeah.
This just in. Syphilis is up 150% in Kansas City. This just in, or whatever you... What would I say?
Margaret Gray reporting.
Margaret Gray reporting. Oh, you think it's funny. See, I want the record to show, ladies and gentlemen, that the host of the show, Phil Henry, is sitting here going, "Bee-hoo-hoo." You think that's funny?
I think the way you dealt with it is very funny. I think the way you dealt with it is very funny.
Well, I'm saying, I wasn't perfect, but I think that it's a health alert, you know, as opposed to like a little kid that has been stolen.
As far as I'm concerned, a little kid that's been stolen, an Amber Alert is the most important thing. We can do alerts for that. Everything else, I don't give a sweet you-know-what. I could care less. I mean, I'm sorry that syphilis is up 150% in Kansas City, but that's not what I call stop the press's news.
So, in other words, what you're saying, essentially, and I want everyone in Kansas City to hear this, that syphilis is up in Kansas City is just another day at the office. Is that it?
Yeah, you're saying, oh, wow. Wow!
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You're saying everybody's walking around in Kansas City and... God.
Are you? I'll say it, if he doesn't want to say it. You're saying everyone in Kansas City is walking around with the drip, aren't you? Look, I want the record to show he's laughing.
I'm not laughing. You were laughing.
No, I wasn't. Are you saying that it's a normal state of affairs for everyone to be walking bull-legged in Kansas City?
Are you going to the toilet?
Yes, I am. I'm disgusted.
Well, I'm disgusted with you.
Why is that?
Bringing that stuff up. Everybody in Kansas City's walking around bull. Hey, you know what? Hey, here we go.
Come on, Phil. Quit making a joke out of it.
You made the joke out of it. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to report this news. Everyone's walking bull-legged in Kansas City.
You'll pay for that.
Oh, I'll pay for that, will I, huh? You'll pay for that. What are you, Rocky and Bullwinkle or something? Yes, the drip is run amok in Kansas City.
Go ahead and laugh it up, laughing boy.
You guys are going to have to learn something about news. That's the problem here. It hasn't got nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me. This has to do with whether you know anything at all about the news business, about what news is and what news isn't. News, as I've always said, is the intersection between what is important and what is interesting. What is important and what is interesting. Unfortunately, that's what news is. I know it probably doesn't make people smile, and we have all kinds of news junkies that are going to go, "Ooh, you, Phil, you know." And there's people that don't like infotainment, and there's people that that are decrying the evolution of the news business into this kind of happy talk or whatever. I don't know. I can't tell you guys. It is what it is. But I will say this, and it's something I've always said. There is a time and a place. What the hell are you doing?
Boredom alert. Boredom alert. Yes, Mr. Henry.
Get out of here with that, will you? Boredom alert.
Boredom alert.
Hold on. I don't care if you're bored. News and information is the intersection, as I say, as to what's important and what is interesting. And to you or to I, there may be a story that's important and interesting. But unless it's interesting to a large amount of people, you know, I had to amend that and say it's what is important to a large amount of people and what's interesting to a large amount of people. So there has to be numbers backing that up. And how do we find this out? Well, we find it out by, who's actually winning when it comes to the race to get viewers or listeners. I heard a guy say once that news is now a product. It's no longer news, it's a product. It's how you package it. It's how you report it. And I agree. It scares me too. When I read a story and I can't get to the who, what, when, where, or why within the first two paragraphs, I'm reading a story that I don't want to read. Maybe that's what gets people to read that garbage, but I don't want to read it. I don't want to read it. If you look at a story here, here's the Amber Alert. The Amber Alert, that's about as important as it gets. If you're screwing around with that, if you're editorializing with that, if you've got some jive ass on that beat, some jackball that wants his byline prominent, some guy that wants to make sure that he's the star and not the story, you're running the risk of getting some children killed. So no news agency worth its weight is going to let anybody screw around with an Amber Alert story. And you will find in an Amber Alert story, the five, what is it? Who, what, when, where, why. Who, what, when, where, why. The five questions are asked and answered in an Amber Alert story because they cannot afford to play it stupid. Well, it was at one time, those five questions were answered no matter what the story. Because that's what I want. I'm reading news, right? I don't give a crap what the guy's opinion is. Who? There's two children. What? They've been abducted. Where? In California, and they give the location. When? It happened Friday night. Why? Because the father and the mother have abducted these children because there's a court order to stay away from the little boy because the little girl was a ward of the state of Nevada. And obviously these people are looking to abduct these children and take them to Mexico. That's what the authorities think. So all of those questions are answered. And they don't mess around, and they don't play it like Harvey Levin at TMZ standing around with the kids and, hey, anybody want to get a Yoo-hoo? And let's talk about how big Kim Kardashian's ass is this week. Bah-ha-ha. You know, because it's not fluff. It's very, very important, and they get that out. You understand what I'm saying?
Phil, you don't have to convince me. I'm a longtime journalist. I'm just saying that Harvey Levin is one of the most important... He is one of the most important people in news gathering today. He is exciting. He is, I don't know, I can't...
Harvey Levin, the guy that runs TMZ.
Yes, the guy that runs TMZ. The sweaters belie the very important instincts that he has. He wears a sweater. He leans on his hands. He listens intently to the young people. But what's going on between those ears, I think, is exciting.
Well, Harvey Levin is a guy that pioneered the TMZ website. He pioneered entertainment news as we know it online, so I will give him that. I don't know what the hell else is so exciting about it. All right. What now?
It was a boredom alert.
Get out of here with a boredom alert, okay?
I told him to do that.
You told him or David?
I did. I'm sorry. I overstepped my bounds.
I'll say you did. All right, so we've got that story, and...
What about a syphilis in Kansas City?
What about it?
Do they do the who, what, when, where, why on that? Because I'm not sure they did.
On which story?
On the syphilis in Kansas City story. Was it the who, what, when, where, why?
Well, you're the ones that brought it into the show, guys. You're the ones that brought it into the show.
Well, I don't know anything about...
You're the journalist. Okay, who...
Yeah, who? Syphilis.
No, that's not who. That's what. Who is the 150%? Who? 150. There's people out there who've got syphilis. What? 150% increase in syphilis. Where? Kansas City. Why? That's the one question they don't answer.
Well, I think three guesses and the first two don't count. Why?
Yeah, you're in Kansas City, and they're not taking showers.
It says here more young people are carrying the sexually transmitted disease syphilis in Kansas City this year. According to the health department, from May to June, the amount of cases jumped 150%. The majority of cases were found among men under the age of 35. About half of those infected with syphilis are also co-infected with HIV. Oh, man. You guys have got to clean your act up there in KC, baby.
Can't they do some kind of a promotion with the Kansas City Chiefs, which is the football team?
Yeah, what about it?
What do you mean, what about it?
Yeah, they could get the Kansas City Chiefs to say, yeah, this is the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't get syphilis. Yeah, take a shower.
Well, it's something, Phil.
The majority of cases were found among men under the age of 35. Hi, we're the Kansas City. We got to take a break. What the hell are we doing? We'll be right back. I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry there, by everybody back at the studio. I'm supposed to be taking a break, and I'm yammering on here about... it's okay. It's a floater.
What does floater mean?
Never mind. So anyway, you guys, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Our number is 855-500-7445. We will be right back with more on KC. Yeah. Welcome back, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. That's also world-famous because we have more there than you can shake your thing at, man. Get a backstage pass. Join us here online at philhenryshow.com. Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard here with us, and you. And it has been just a fantastic week. I've enjoyed the whole damn thing, man. We've got one other story, and I was going to do this earlier, and I don't know why I did. Not probably because we had too much else going on. Kim Kardashian to Katie Couric, you're a two-faced bitch. Margaret, do you know what this is about?
Well, I think this is about the usual. Kim Kardashian is acting, for all the world, I think, like she's some kind of a cherry. And by that, I mean she's acting as if she doesn't know what time it is out on the street. Okay?
What are you talking about, no time on the street?
You know exactly what I'm saying.
Well, let's drop the urban speak and just...
I'm not doing urban speak. I'm saying Kim Kardashian is acting like she's some kind of a punk on the yard. That's all.
Yeah, she's acting like a punk on the yard.
What do you mean, punk on the yard? You want me to do this? Kim Kardashian...
I'll do it, thank you. Kim Kardashian is saying that Katie Couric, she doesn't like fake media friends. And I'm saying to Kim, wherever you are tonight, Kim, you don't get it. All media friends are fake. Kim Kardashian is reeling, and I mean reeling. And I've talked to people close to her. She is having difficult time even... I mean, this is a woman that is already carrying around that big... I'm sorry for saying this, Phil. She's carrying around that big rear end. So she's already out of breath. What are you laughing at?
You're talking about out of breath.
Would you tell him to shut up?
Well, that's a pretty funny thing you're saying.
Well, I don't mean to be funny. I'm being very serious. Kim Kardashian is hauling around that big ass, excuse my French, and that would leave anyone winded. Now she's needing to sit down for 30 minutes, 45 minutes at a stretch. Why? Because Katie Couric slammed her in an interview on Thursday despite sending her a baby gift for the child Northwest.
What's that?
That's the baby.
That's where the baby is. But that's...
That's the baby's name. Are you guys idiots or something? Kanye West, get it? Northwest?
No, I don't understand.
But the baby was born in the Northwest.
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Then quit giving me lip and listen. The baby is named Northwest. Okay?
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, where have you cats been, man? They named the kid like weeks ago.
They're idiots. In any event, Katie Couric sent a baby gift for Northwest, and Kim Kardashian thought, well, I'm in tight with Katie Couric. This is going to be fantastic. You know, I've got my BBF out there on my BFF and my BBF, which is my best bisexual friend, which I don't know. Maybe that's what she means.
When did she call Katie Couric a bisexual?
Well, she didn't, but I mean, she said BBF.
If she said BBF.
Well, she didn't, so she's her BFF, right?
I don't like BFF.
Yeah, I don't either. It sounds too much like, but you know what?
You guys are really children. I'm telling you, I don't know how I'm going to get through this show with you nuts. I really don't.
Oh, look at you. Are you too good for us, bud?
Hey, you're too good for us, Mr. Henry.
Shut up. You don't have to say BFF. I don't like it. It reminds me, it sounds like, but... You know that you're going to put my ass in a sling. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah, but I'm not trying to or anything. Just said I like BFF.
Don't you think it's legitimate to say we don't like the term BFF?
Yes, you don't have to graphically tell me why. You can just say it sounds like a sex act. How about that?
I think it's important to say which one. Nonetheless, Kim just responded on Instagram to Katie's In Touch interview, in which Katie said she doesn't understand why Kim and the rest of the Kardashians are famous. Katie said, I think it's mostly teenage girls that are interested. That is shocking, shocking information. Katie Couric shows what a blithering idiot she truly is. The Kardashians, whether you like them or not, Phil, are popular because people love feeling rather superior to them. They've got a lot of money, but they're not very sophisticated. They have a lot of things, but they don't seem to necessarily know what to do with them. They're involved in a lot of very shallow efforts because they're not really conscious of the largest social issues. They're an interesting train wreck. They're not just a train wreck. They're a beautiful train wreck filled with beautiful freaks. They're filled with these marvelous mutations, freaks and mutants that cause us to want to touch ourselves. I don't know.
Well, thank you very much. You know, Margaret, one of the things you're going to need to do, all right?
Can you just tell me that you like or you don't like an article that or something I did? Don't give me all kinds of advice.
Well, I'm going to have to give you advice. One of the things you're going to want to do is when you're done doing your story, well, you don't wrap it up by saying, I don't know, I don't know. Because what's happening there is it sounds like you've done half of a story and I got to finish it up.
Well, what didn't I finish?
Well, the Kardashians are beautiful mutants that make us want to, they're freaks that make us want to touch ourselves.
You didn't go bitching it. She didn't butcher it up.
Yeah, I think I said it like my lips aren't malformed.
We'll see you Monday, folks. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thanks to the whole crew, Da Global in D.C. Thanks to all you guys in Denver. Thanks to all of you guys, our subscribers, our listeners. Thank you.